This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Douglas Holtz Aiken, former director of the Congressional Budget Office. He's also a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and you may remember him as a key economic advisor to the McCain presidential campaign last year. We want to get his thoughts as to how the Congressional Budget Office scoring process works and why he believes that the official score given, which is basically a thumbs up to the Max Baucus health care reform bill, doesn't tell the whole story about the price tag on this thing. And Doug, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Greg.
Well, walk us through briefly, if you can, how do the economists go over a massive bill like this? How do they figure out exactly what the price tag and the impact on the deficit's likely to be?
I think the important thing is that the CBO does this under a very particular set of rules. In particular, the CBO has to analyze what the Congress writes down. This is what we promised to do. They look at it. They find out how much there is in the way of new subsidies, new Medicaid spending, where the promises are for new taxes or other revenues, and then they see how it adds up. For this particular bill, that leads to a couple of important notions. First of all, that we will see our Congress cut Medicare spending by $500 billion over the next decade when there has never been any Congress that has had sustained cuts in Medicare spending. So while the CBO is pricing what Congress promises, it's fantasy, the political reality may be very different. And that's true on the spending side. It's also true on some of the taxes that they're promising to levy.
So when we see this projected price tag of $829 billion, we can realistically attach another half a trillion to that?
I'm nervous that is how it would play out. I mean, the last thing we want to do in our current circumstances that show deficits, as far as the eye can see, as large as $1 trillion 10 years from now, the last thing we want to do is take a bill that promises to barely break even and not make things worse that actually does end up costing us a lot more money.
Let's talk about a couple of these different areas now. You mentioned Medicaid, and we had a conversation earlier with Congressman Cassidy of Louisiana, who says basically what the Baucus bill does here is foist a huge price tag onto the states to pay for an expansion in Medicaid that they clearly can't afford right now. Is that essentially true?
I think that's a fair criticism. The president said, I'm not going to sign a bill that costs more than $900 billion. The reality is this enterprise costs a lot more than $900 billion. So how can you disguise that fact? Well, push some to the states. Leave some things out of the bill, which they did, and in some cases just push the spending to the end and pick the revenue up in the front so it looks better on paper.
What about in terms of the projected costs over time? Some have said, well, this is projected over 10 years, but you got to remember that for the next 4 or 5 years, it doesn't actually kick in yet. So how does that all factor in?
Both the House passed bill and this have new spending growing at 8% a year. Much faster than anyone would expect the economy to grow. So you are building into the new pressures for entitlement spending. Now, this bill promises to make things match up by raising taxes at a rate of 10 to 15% a year, depending on the tax, and by cutting Medicare at a rate of something like 10% a year. My concern is that aren't going to happen. We're not going to see the cuts. We're not going to see the taxes. But the spending will happen for sure, and we'll end up with a bigger problem.
Doug, if they were to actually make the Medicare cuts they're promising to make, where would they be?
They'll take a big chunk, about $120 billion, out of Medicare Advantage plans, insurance plans offered to seniors. About a quarter of seniors are on those. If they take out the money, those seniors will see their benefits change. It's a matter of arithmetic. The rest they will promise to take out of hospitals in particular and some of the doctor payments and we've tried this in the past. In 1997, there was a large attempt to rein in Medicare spending through these kinds of cuts. And what's always happened is the Congress ends up reversing itself. So they're far from sure.
Doug, in the end, I know that the senator last year during his presidential campaign had a very different approach to health care reform. Is this a bill that could be cleaned up and made more palatable and more cost efficient, or is this something that just needs to be scrapped and started over?
My hope is that there would be a chance to restart this process in what would be a genuinely bipartisan way. That would have two advantages. Number one, there are ideas that Republicans bring to this that I think are better than what we're seeing in these bills. But more importantly, bipartisan reforms would be durable. We wouldn't see the Republicans in this case or the Democrats in another case just waiting for the chance to undo what the previous Congress had done. We do need reforms in our healthcare system. It'd be make much more sense to have them be permanent and useful.
Last question before we let you go here, Doug. In terms of the fact that we've got a Democratic majority, a large one in both houses, a Democratic president, is the current situation, although no one likes it, better than what's being proposed here?
I think the current situation is better than what's being proposed, because what we're really going to do in the end is pass a big bill to our kids, and we've already done too much of that already. So let's not make that mistake. Let's be honest about what we need and pay for it ourselves. We can do that with a price tag well below the trillion to trillion and a half that we currently have on the table.
One more quick one real quickly here. In terms of the public relations battle here now, Democrats very happy getting this positive score from the CBO. How much does that boost their public relations effort? How much more difficult is the PR fight on the other side?
It certainly is a victory for the Democrats, but it's a victory they earned. They asked CBO particular questions, and CBO answered them truthfully. It is up to the other side to ask equally difficult and important questions, have CBO answer those honestly, and then we'll have the real policy issues out on the table.
Doug, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Douglas Holtz-Aiken is former director of the Congressional Budget Office. He was a senior economic advisor to the John McCain for President campaign, and he's a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.